Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, Welsh Forest Focus. Nottingham Forest head to Goodison Park on Sunday, knowing a winner over Everton will massively boost their survival chances and drag their opponents even further in the mire. Joining me to discuss the chance of that happening, or if Forest will be the ones suffering the damage defeat themselves, is Ped from Toffee TV. Good news to join us. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, I suppose, considering everything.
Yeah, it kind of feels like we're in the same boat, but you've got that kind of recency bias on Monday, which we'll get into. But I always kick these things off just asking fans what they made of their season in general. Yours feels like it's been a real whirlwind more than most, with the points deductions, new stadium on the horizon, potential change of ownership, which looks like a bit of a saga in itself, and obviously the results on the pitch. I mean, how do you sum it all up if you can?
Horrendous, worst season ever in the history of mankind. It is. It's been horrendous, honestly. It's just been absolutely horrendous. You can't go one day to the next without there being some kind of story that is unfootball related, and then when you get to the football is dreadful, and you know, it's not a great collection of players, and yeah, all in all, it's been horrific to have been part of and witnessed.
I suppose Monday was the latest chapter. Forest fans went into that game. A lot of us thought you may have Chelsea are flaky, you might have a chance, you don't know what's going to happen on the night. None of us saw that 6-0 coming. I guess you guys didn't as well. I mean, what was your read on it? Because at 0-0, you looked like you were in the game, and then it just all fell apart. Was that always on the horizon, or were you completely shocked by it?
No, I was completely shocked by it, to be honest, because one thing we have been is reasonably tight. I just thought it was terrible management and terrible execution of whatever game plan there was. Normally, we're a lot tighter than that when we play away. We try and keep it tight for the first 20 minutes and we'll settle ourselves into a game. And we came out almost like this all guns blazing and tried to make it a bit of a basketball game. Well, you don't make it a basketball game when you can't score goals and the opposition can score goals. You know, what you do is you make it tight. You make it edgy. You try and hope you can coax the opposition into making mistakes that are going to help you. And we didn't do anything. And that's very unlike us, to be honest. If you know, Sean Dyche's football is not everyone's cup of tea. But it can be restrictive at least. You know, we went to Forest recently and we went 1-0 down in the first half, and we sort of just shut up shop for a little bit. And then the last half an hour of the game, whilst we were still in it, we started to get into it slowly. We ended up getting a point out of it. And I think that's what we've done quite well this season. We've known our own limitations. So Monday was a massive shock, to be honest. It was just one of those nights where, you know, sometimes it happens in football where everything bad just happens at the same time, and you just hope that you've got rid of it all in one go and you learn the lessons from it, and you say, don't let that happen again, because no one wants to feel that way.
I guess on the outside, Dyche looks like he's been dealt a pretty tough hand with all Everton's problems off the pitch, but you know, it's still a results business at the end of the day. Is patience starting to wear thin with him now or not?
Yeah, he's not a manager for the long term. He never has been a manager. I see him as a manager who lives out of a suitcase, if I'm honest. I've never really taken to him as an Everton manager. I don't feel like there's any roots there at all. I don't know. I suppose it's like, you know, you've just had a manager where I think a lot of your fans believed in Steve Cooper, and now you've got another manager where do you really believe he's there for the long term? Do you really believe he's there to do anything else but sort of try and keep it in the Premier League? I just have that feeling with Sean Dyche. He's not someone I want as an Everton manager. He doesn't represent me as an Everton fan in terms of his football or the way he does things. So I really hope he's gone at the end of the season, and we sort of, he does his job and we wish him well. He's at this, and he's been dealt a bad hand because the squad is awful, and you know the points deductions come in, and without the points deduction points wise, we'd be safe now. But that's not the reality we live in, and you have to react to the reality you live in, and we haven't reacted to it. Second half of the season, you know, one win in 2024, it's been absolutely appalling, and Monday night really put the cap on it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Dyche and his staff have got more links with our club than yours in a way, with their own playing careers. I think they all live in this neck of the woods as well. I think Dyche does, certainly. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying there. I mean, what kind of response are you expecting for, after the Chelsea game? Because we went to Fulham and got hammered 5-0. And the next game we rocked up and put in a battling, if not very good, performance to get a point against Wolves. Is that kind of what you're hoping for? Or do you see this as, is it must win with the fixtures on the horizon for you?
Well, it's a must win regardless of any fixtures. I mean, the fixtures are quite kind to us, really. If Everton can't stay up with the fixtures they've got, then they don't belong in the Premier League, points deduction or not. You know, it's a weird one because when we played Burnley home, we obviously won 1-0, but they were down to 10 men for half an hour or whatever it was, and we just sat in. We never played any kind of attack in football. We just tried to play on the counter attack. And yet we've gone to Chelsea and tried to go toe-to-toe for them. So it's hard to predict what will happen on Sunday, but I imagine he'll go back to the basics of try and nick something, but make sure we keep it tight. And that's what it's been like all season. And to watch it's absolutely dreadful. Absolutely dreadful football. You can't even call it football at times because nobody knows what style of play we have. We try and nick things on set pieces, which obviously could be a big thing against your lads. But the football's dreadful, and you go the match and you try and feel like, you know, you want to be part of it and want to enjoy it, but it really is difficult to enjoy the kind of football we're watching. And it's wartime football. That's all it is. It's a case of getting enough points to get us safe, and that's it. And that's the whole job. That is the whole job in a nutshell.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, is it just going to be an aerial bombardment again for us on Sunday then? Because like you mentioned, we're terrible at defending set pieces. And I know we've got the worst record. You've basically got the best of attacking set pieces. Mm. Do Everton offer literally no other threat in open play then, really?
None. Honestly, none. We offer none in normal, in open play. And with the second lowest goal scorers, I think, this season. We've been hearing all season about XG will pay you back. It's a load of bollocks. If you haven't got players, you can't put the ball in the net. It doesn't matter how many chances you create. It's about putting the ball in the back of the net. And he comes out with like sound bites about like how many chances we've made, but none of it's like through a pattern of play. It's all just through. It's all through half chances. And you know, if you read into XG, the quality of chances is really low, even though they are registered as chances. They are really, really low. So it will be all about the set pieces for us. And of course, if you can get 1-0 up or 2-0 up off set pieces, which doesn't really happen to us, but if you can, then obviously you relax then and maybe you do play a little bit better football. But we haven't seen that bar maybe a couple of games this season. So I think, you know, prepare yourselves. It all depends as well on who plays up front. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, obviously missing on Monday. When he plays up front, we tend to go long. And when Beto plays, we tend to go down the channel. Now, the odd thing about that is Dominic Calvert-Lewin is a much better player than Beto. But when we've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, we only play one way, which is really bizarre because Dom's a much better player and can play either way and can play to feet and back to goal. So even that, when we change the striker, we change the style of play at times. So, prepare yourself for a sore neck, I'd say, on Sunday, because we certainly won't be trying to play any kind of football.
I did want to ask you about a couple of players. One of them was Beto, in case he does play. I've seen quite a lot of him. I think he played against us at the City Ground. He looks game, but is it a bit harsh to call him a cart horse? Is there more to him than that? Because he missed a big chance at 0-0 against Chelsea. Mm. Is that typical of him?
Yeah, that is very typical of him. The money we've paid for him is extraordinary for what he is. We've paid well over the odds because we haven't had to pay anything up front. That tells you exactly where we are as a football club, sadly. He's a work in progress. You can tell this is a player who has missed his developmental years. You know, he's got a nice story. You know, I think it was like 5 years ago, he was still working in a KFC in Portugal. Came through the lower leagues and has made his way through, obviously through Italy and now into the Premier League. He's a player who'll give you absolutely everything. But, I mean, is that enough in the Premier League anymore? The quality of the Premier League nowadays is so high that, you know, you've that kind of striker is so far removed from what we're used to now. We're used to sort of like the finished product being in the Premier League, or certainly something like it. He's got a lot of rough edges, and it'll take time to take those rough edges off. And it also depends on the kind of people you've got at your football club. Have you got the coaches to take those rough edges off? What do you want from your centre forward? Do you want a runner who'll run in behind? He'll run in behind all day long. And if you had a coach who could maybe work on that, you could probably get a good player out of it, because I think he knows where the back of the net is. It's the play just before that. So it's hard to know what we've got. I'd feel so much better if Dominic Calvert-Lewin was starting. I know that, because he is a lot more of an all round player, and I know he did go through a big barren period, but he came back. He scored a couple of goals recently, and I just feel a lot safer because he's a lot more cultivated. Just as a Premier League striker, he looks like he's obviously a lot more rounded. Is he ever going to be top level? No, he never. And missing a couple of years through injury has really stunted his development as well. But he knows his way around the Premier League pitch. And, you know, you've got someone in Chris Wood who you can sort of look at the same, and you can see the difference. You know, a player who's been around a while in the Premier League and just knows how to get. They're not amazing. As I said, they're not the finished article, but they know how to carry themselves in the Premier League because they've got that experience. And Beto just hasn't got that at the moment, where Dominic Calvert-Lewin has.
The other area of the pitch we're going to ask you about, Ped, was right back. I think you lost two right backs against Chelsea. Would it be Ashley Young? Would it be Ben Godfrey who fills in there? It looks like an area of weakness that we could maybe exploit, I guess.
We've had four different right backs this season, and it's been a weird position because it's the most covered position we've got, and it has been the one that's needed to be most covered, oddly enough. You know, you look at like the left back position barely changed all season, the centre backs have barely changed all season, but that right back position has changed many times. So it probably will be Ben Godfrey, because he is so athletic. He's not going to cause you any danger in your half of the pitch, but he's so athletic that he can make mistakes and get away with it. He's not particularly very good in the air, which is you know, if you can almost get the ball to the back post and get one-on-one with him, that's where you can get joy from him. Beating him in a foot race? No, not going to beat him in a foot race. Not many players are going to beat him in a foot race. But he's not a traditional right back. He's more of an athlete than he is at times a true footballer. So he'll probably start at right back, I imagine. And Dyche did, give him a little bit of a run at right back because of those attributes, because of the pace, because of his ability to get us out of trouble and also cover the back line when we need that bit of pace as well. So I imagine he'll start the game.
And I guess you're desperate for Branthwaite to be fit as well. He looks like a superstar in the making, I guess.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean, he has made a couple of mistakes of late on Monday. He did get caught out for the first goal. And I think, again, it's coming out of that structure that we've been used to playing. He has, you know, he's shown a couple of times maybe that immaturity at times. But I think for the most part, he is a really top player. And, you know, you can see it in him that he's so calm and composed that you can see that they're the attributes that will take him to the top. I do believe he'll be a player who will end up at a Champions League side because he is so calm. It's hard to ruffle his feathers, and he makes mistakes, and he doesn't react poorly when he makes mistakes. He only bounces back quite quickly. Not that he's had loads of mistakes, by the way. They're sometimes highlighted because the one on Monday, they scored off it. And I think the only one you can really, the other one is when Haaland brushed past them and knocked them over, and they'll be highlighted because goals were scored from them. But he is a young lad, and this is his first full season playing in the Premier League. You know, he's been on loan at PSV. He was on loan at Blackburn. He has had minutes in the Premier League before that and come through in the COVID season. But this lad has got everything it needs. It needs to be a top player. And, we're really hoping that he is available for Sunday, because the other player available is Michael Keane, especially if Ben Godfrey's playing. And the difference in levels is night and day. You know, Michael Keane makes mistakes and then dwells on that mistake and then ends up making another mistake, whereas, you know, Jared Branthwaite shakes them off quite quickly if he makes a mistake. So hopefully he'll be back for us.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just before I fire a couple of quick other questions at Paired, a quick word for our sponsors, Trent Navigation as ever. You can watch the game as it's on TV in full at the Nav. It's on the big screen. Food court is open, outside bars, Sunday roasts are available, and you can also catch the FA Cup semi-final between Coventry and Man United, and Fulham versus Liverpool is on in the Premier League. Another thing I want to ask about Everton, because obviously we can't defend, but we can attack, and we've got pace in attack. Was that Chelsea game a bit of an outlier? Because it looked like you had a little bit of a lack of athleticism. He looked a bit slow. Palmer took up really interesting positions in that kind of number 10 position, and we got Gibbs White. Is that something that would worry you about Forest, if that's our strength?
Not based on Monday, no, in terms of doing that again. That's not something we genuinely get caught out with, if I'm honest. I think Monday really was an outlier in terms of how we tried to press them, and it meant the midfielders, who normally protect the back four, went higher than the likes of Cole Palmer, and Cole Palmer sat in that space, and we normally don't give up that space. That's why Monday was so weird, and now no idea why Sean Dyche allowed that to happen. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Gibbs White won't find space and won't, you know, not saying he won't have a good game or you know, he's a good player and will find pockets of space. I just think Monday we'll have learned from that and just basically don't do that again. It's, as I said, Onana normally sits in front of the back four, and for some reason on Monday night, he was trying to press, and James Garner does the same. When those two players play, they normally sit quite deep. And it's, to be honest, we sometimes criticise that quite a lot, because it doesn't give us much in midfield in terms of an attacking player or having one who sits, one who drives forward, and one who plays behind the centre forward. So I think that won't be allowed on Sunday as a rule. Now, don't get me wrong, Morgan Gibbs might do that on his own. You know, he might hurt us because he is a good player and he finds those spaces. But I can't see us falling into the same trap of chasing around after the pitch, chasing around after the ball all over the pitch, leaving spaces. It's not something that has happened this season. You know, we're not a particularly good side, but we have been compact. We have been decent in defence. We still have one of the best defensive records in the Premier League. So I can't see that being allowed to happen on Sunday.
Mm. Are there any other Forest players that might worry you from what you've seen of us?
Not really in terms of, like, I look at someone and think they're a standout player. Mm. You know, you're where you are because obviously you don't have an amazing squad. We're exactly the same. We're where we are because we don't have an amazing squad. They're the basics, aren't they? Listen, someone like Chris Wood can hurt us. He's hurt us in the past. We have been giving up some set-piece goals of late ourselves as well. We've been caught. I don't think there's one individual that I would look at it from Forest and go, oh, he's going to really hurt us. Anyone with a bit of pace, of course. I think Alanga did well against us in the first half in the game with the City ground. If you get the ball down and move it quickly, then you've got an opportunity to hurt us. If Morgan Gibbs Wright finds those pockets of space, then he's got an opportunity to hurt us. It's more the way we play. We're just so we allow the opposition to have so much of the ball, by the way, as well. So if you can get on the ball and start making things happen and get a swell of possession, then of course you can hurt us. There is a lot of last ditched defending from us that keeps us in games and Jordan Pickford pulling off saves and things like that. So of course you can hurt us. Burnley had a hell of a lot of the ball when they played us last time at Goodison. It's what teams do with the ball, obviously. So other than Morgan Gibbs-White, I wouldn't pick out one individual. But if you can get on the ball, then you have an opportunity to hurt us, because that's what we allow.
Last one I wanted to ask you about before I let you go, Paddy, is just about the fan atmosphere. A lot of these times, you come off a bad result, things aren't going well. It feels like the crowd might turn if we can go there and score first. If Forest go 1-0 up in the first half, will it get a bit toxic, or will the fans stick with the team?
I don't think toxic's... I think toxic's thrown around quite often about Everton, certainly in its fan base. I don't think it ever gets toxic at Everton. The players get what they deserve, as far as I'm concerned. I don't like these words. I don't like... There's almost like an assumption that fans need to back the team no matter what. I don't believe that. I've been going the game for nearly 40 years. I don't believe that whatsoever. Players get what they deserve. If they put the hard work in and they're showing some kind of graft, then players will be backed. If players are lazy or giving up space, letting goals in too easily, players will be told. And that's fine in my eyes. We pay our money. We get to say what we want. Again, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it doesn't get abusive in terms of picking out individuals. If Everton go 1-0 behind, and it's because Forest have cut us open dead easy, then the players will know about it. It's as simple as that. You know, I understand them. Both clubs are in the same boat in a way. You have to get behind your players. You have to try and inspire them. But at times, those players have got to try and inspire the fan base as well, and are saying, look, we're doing our part. There's a lot of lazy words thrown around by football clubs, and I'm sure you'll have heard them yourselves. You know, we've heard recently, maybe the points deductions affected them, or maybe they'll step up because of the points deductions. What's that got to do? What's a points deduction got to do with anything? Everton, yes, after we got the last points deduction, you know, we went on a 4-game run after we'd beaten by Manchester United. But why should the losing 10 points at that time affect what we do on the pitch? These players should be doing it all the time. They paid a lot of money. They're given absolutely everything to be top players. They shouldn't be needed excuses either way. So listen, if you go 1-0 up and it's because we've been terrible, the players will hear about it, and then it'll be, come on, step up. If we go 1-0 down because, you know, something fluky happens or someone smashes one in from 30 yards, then the crowd will stick with them. Of course they will. The crowd will try and make it a good atmosphere from the start. We know it's a big game. It is really hard at the moment. Everything's getting thrown at us. We don't know. A lot of people don't even know if Everton will be a thing in a year's time. Never mind whether Everton will be in the Premier League. So it is really hard to get yourself going as a fan. I don't think Monday night will come into the equation. There'll be a line drawn under that, and it'll be, you know, we'll get the atmosphere going, and then it's up to the players to react and play a game that's good enough to beat Forest. And if we're not good enough because we're not good enough, so be it. But if it's because of a lack of effort and a lack of people doing their jobs, then the players will soon hear, you know, will be told about that. We're not like the other side of the park. We don't just sit there and go, oh, this is great. We are a fan base that will react in the way whichever is appropriate. So if they're doing their job, then we'll do our job. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, the only time I ever thought Goodison Park got away, I was like, wow, that's a bit light. Was it when you lost 4-0 at home to Brighton or something and someone...
Yeah, not last season, past, yeah.
That was lively. Yeah. Any final thoughts on the relegation battle in general then, with Luton are going to have played before us, and I think they're going to have played before us a few times. Are you desperately worried about relegation because of, I guess, the financial impacts are so huge for Everton from reading your accounts? Is it just like an all-encompassing nightmare for you? Or are you kind of, you've been here before so many times, I guess, is what I'm saying. You must be kind of used to it in a way, being in the bottom of the struggling.
I'm not used to it. I mean, because it's only the last couple of seasons. You know, I've been used to Everton finishing top five, top six, getting European football. That's what I'm used to. That's what I expect. They're my expectations. I still believe Everton are a truly great football club and should be challenging for European football year in, year out. So I look at it from a position of this is not good enough, and I expect I expect some kind of reaction from the football club. I'm not used to this situation, and I'll never get used to this situation. So for me, it's a case of the games are there to be won. There's teams to beat. We've got yourselves, we've got Brentford, we've got Sheffield United, we've got Luton. If Everton can't get out of the trouble we're in by beating those teams, then Everton don't belong in the Premier League. It's as simple as that. And maybe we don't belong in the Premier League. Maybe the Premier League's moved on. I don't know. But something that this club's got to give soon, whether it's on the pitch or off the pitch. And it starts, obviously, on the pitch. And if Everton do their job and hopefully Luton don't pick up any points, then we'll all be happy. But if Everton go down and Luton stay up, then I don't care what points deductions we've been given. That, to me, is that's Armageddon. That's like everybody at the club should be sacked. If honestly, if Luton are in the Premier League next season and Everton aren't, then nobody at this football club, the tea lady to the manager, should have a job, as far as I'm concerned. So that's the way I look at it anyway.
Yeah, if we go down at the expense of Luton, it'd be pretty embarrassing. It's been an embarrassing season for the most part. I would say for us, we shouldn't be where we are, and the points deductions hurt us. Yeah. Right, I really appreciate your time, Ped. If everyone's enjoyed this, do us a favour, hit like, hit subscribe, become a channel member if you can, and give us a good review on iTunes. Ped, good luck for good luck for the rest of the season, but appreciate you joining us.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers, thanks a lot.
Cheers, mate.
We shall catch you soon, everyone. Bye. Sports Social Podcast
Network. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.